Welcome everybody to our very first episode of the ABCs of ERP and Beyond, a podcast dedicated to exploring the world of enterprise resource planning systems in business and technology. In this episode, we'll be focusing on the top five do's and don'ts for implementing an ERP system in your organization. ERP is a type of software that helps organizations manage and integrate their business processes, including finance, accounting, HR, and supply chain management. It provides a single centralized system for managing and tracking data and information across an organization, allowing for more efficient and effective decision-making. In this episode, we'll be sharing our top tips for ensuring a successful ERP implementation based on our experience working with organizations of all sizes and industries. We'll be discussing the importance of proper planning, choosing the right ERP vendor and solution, training, support, and ongoing maintenance processes. We will also be sharing some common pitfalls to avoid and offering practical advice for overcoming any challenges that may arise during the implementation process. So if you're interested in learning more about ERP and how it can help your organization streamline and optimize its business processes, this podcast is for you.
Okay, so welcome. Let me introduce myself. My name is Peter, and I like to think of myself as a business leader. I have a strong background in technology and operations. I've led successful simplification projects in businesses, and I've developed a suite of internal data processes. I tend to be known as a bit of a reporting specialist within my business, and I've recently implemented more substantial reporting methods in order to track business KPIs. So I'm a bit of a data nerd, and that's really where I come from. And I'm joined with my fellow co-host, Nirav. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for joining. My name is Nirav Shah. I've been in the ERP implementation field for over 20 years. I've experienced working with all size organizations, all different processes from manufacturing to fabrication to job shop to project-oriented companies, having full cycle knowledge and implementations, right? I could provide best practice tips and proper planning and proper proper long-term support of how to best manage your ERP systems and go from your current system to a more digital on-cloud solution from an ERP standpoint.
Very good. So episode one, Nirav, here we are. We've talked about it. We're here. So our first topic is just to kind of dip our toe into the world of podcasts and talking about what we do, which is ERP implementations, ERP best practices. Our first episode is all about do's and don'ts. So let's step through some do's and don'ts. We'll start with the positives, which are the do's. You're the expert here, so I'm just going to fire these at you and see where you go. So if you were to say, what's your first do? It's the first thing you should do when you're wanting to migrate to a new ERP or you're a small business and you haven't got any system in place. Where do we start?
Yeah, the very first do is do your ERP homework. Really understand, you know, an ERP system, what ERP systems are capable to do, right? Understand the basics and foundations. Understand your business is really important when it comes to doing your ERP homework, because you need to understand how your business operates. Now, it's really easy a lot of times in my experience where the, you know, CIO or the director of IT is tasked saying, okay, hey, we need to get off of QuickBooks because it's not sufficient for us. And we're, you know, it's not auditable. And, you know, we're kind of outgrowing it. We don't have good inventory control. So go and find an ERP system. Now the director of IT guy goes out, or girl, she goes out and they go, so here's an ERP system. The very first one they find doing her Google search, let's go and look at this one and implement this. But I think you need to take a deeper look, right? When you're tasked with the ERP system, I usually say it's consider that kind of a heart transplant. in the business, because what you're doing now, because a lot of that information on how business is running prior and up to an ERP system is essentially tribal knowledge. It's Excel spreadsheets,
yeah.
It's QuickBooks, it's four or five different systems, right? Now, what you're with an ERP system, you're taking all that, bringing that into a single system, right? Now you're connecting all these departments to the heart. The heart is the ERP software, right? So really understand how data is flowing internally, documented, right? Go through those process flows, create a visual chart, okay? So have that document prepared, right? Step number one, okay? Step number two in this process is find a solution that's built for your industry. And what I mean by that is ERP for SMB, let's say the small, medium size, right, market, a lot of the solutions are out of the box. Generic processes, what I like to say. You know, they have sales orders, right? They're going to do sales quotes, sales orders, planning, purchasing, receiving, you know, shipping, warehousing, AR, AP, cash management, all that stuff. It has all those standard functions. But what's specific to your industry? Let's say, for example, you are a process manufacturer, right? You manufacture chemicals. Well, in that case, when you manufacture chemicals, you need to be able to properly understand the manufacturing process. It's not similar to a discrete manufacturer. A process manufacturer has more repetitive type cycles. They do batch manufacturing. Lot serial control is super important. They have byproducts, right? And if you're in on the food side, you have catch weights. Now you need a vertical. You need a specific solution that's created, an ERP solution that's created for your specific industry. Because the last thing you want to do is pick any old ERP system off the shelf, and now you try to implement it, and it doesn't fit. Okay, now you have to do all this customization in it, right? Yeah. You want to stay away from that. There are solutions out there built for your industry. Just take some homework. But what it first takes is understanding how your business is working. Understand that you are a little different than maybe the same business in your industry or under other industries altogether. Once you understand that, right, you could go and attack and try to say, this is the type of solution I'm looking for, right? It's maybe not, you know, generic. You need a specific solution that's going to be able to work out of the box for you, right? And then the other part of it is once you have that nailed down, go through a very thorough demo process. Really vet out the solution. Don't just do a high-level demo. Don't just do, we need to do one demo because this one person is just kind of concerned. Go through each department, vet out the solution. Try to get a demo with your data. You know, some vendors will do that for you. Partners will do that for you. Try to get a demo with your data. So the key users that are going to make decisions in the ERP process and the implementation, see their information, they're familiar with that data, and will be able to quickly determine whether the solution is going to work or not. So ERP homework is up there in terms of making sure that, you know, taking time out, understanding what your business does, then finding the solution that fits your business and properly vetting it is obviously utmost importance in this, in the whole ERP implementation process.
Yeah, I guess we'll touch on that later on, but it's interesting that you say that because there's a part that says you need to work with people that are closest to the work. When you're doing this ERP implementation, or even any new process implementation, you need the advice of people closest to the work. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you're getting these demos, it's often very clean data, which is great. Cherry-picked data, no missing fields, but it's not your data.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. Like, it's almost like we will prioritize having a working demo on known, clean, fictional data over let's get a sample of the client's data. Let's put it in. And now you know these products, now you know this process, now you know these customers, and what you kind of know what to expect.
Exactly.
So that's really interesting, to say, request a demo with your, a sample of your own data.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, bombard the partner or the publisher, ERP publisher. Here's our item file of 175,000 items, or here's our 40,000 customers. let's get a good sample set. Let's get two different examples. The first example could be what we do 80% of the time. Okay, as an example that we do 80% of the time that we process through, pump through the system every single day, right? And let's do one exception to that rule, right? Here's a specialist case, right? And we have a hard time processing this type of order, right? It's a single level bill of material, let's just say, one customer, one vendor, right? Maybe we don't even readjust in, you know, maybe most of the bill of material items. Maybe just we do one purchase order for one of the items, but you'll get a good flavor of how the system operates. You know, when you look at it from that point, let's look at one process that's 80% of our process that we do day to day. Let's do one exception. And I think between both of that, you'll get a good understanding that, okay, is this system going to work for me? Is this what I'm looking for ultimately, or do I need to look for another system?
Very good. So do number one is ERP homework.
Yeah.
So say we've done our homework, we've seen what's out in the market, we've had a look at solutions that are within our industry. We've had a demo. Where do we go from there? What's do number two?
I think it's continuing that discussion internally. Okay. And you notice the theme here is for some, you know, there's a lot more, what people forget in this process, a lot of research has to be done, right? It's not just ERP, a software, and the vendor that's implementing it, and the publisher, the customer, you know, who's requesting this ERP product, has a lot of upfront commitment that needs to be, you know, completed. You know, they have to have some skin in the game, essentially, right? So the second part of it is to continue honing in on those detailed processes internally, because. And number one, you're doing your ERP homework. You're looking at what you're doing now. But what you're preparing for with our second one is understanding your business processes and down to the detail level and to see how you're going to improve them is to say, okay, once we embark on this journey, right, what we're doing now, how is that going to compare with what we're going to do in the future? What do we need to change, right? What are our pain points, right? Start instituting that change management mentality internally, because you need to start planting that seed. You need to, everyone in the organization has to start understanding that we're going to go on this ERP implementation. That's going to be great for us, but it's going to be a team effort. So everyone needs to be involved in this is what we're doing in our department. This is what we're doing in our department. This is how our department should feed into this second department, right? This third department, right? Who's doing what when? Because when you start understanding who your users are, which is number three, right, you're going to get better output during the ERP implementation process. So this is kind of, you know, you're looking at it from, you know, it's not a set it and forget it. We pick the company, we pick the software, and we pick the partner. Now we forget it. And all of a sudden, tomorrow we're going to wake up, we're going to have a great ERP system. This is continual work internally that needs to happen, right, to have the best output. Because ultimately, you know, what I tell my clients is our job when we implement you is for you to take ownership of your system. It's very easy during your ERP implementation to say, no, this is the partner. This is the ERP implementation team's problem right now. Let them, you know, implement it. And then we'll make sure that, you know, we'll see if it's going to work for us. That no, you don't want to start off like that. You want the startup mentality. This is our investment. You know, we need to take ownership of it. Right. The partner is there to provide guidance on best practices and how to use a system. Right. But you know your business ultimately at the end of the day. So, you know, those ERP systems are implemented the best is when the customer and the partner are kind of like in, you know, lockstep, essentially. You know, the partner saying, you know, the customer saying, these are our goals. This is how we run our business. This is how we need to run our business. Right. So all that's done up front, kind of in the analysis. And then, the right product is chosen, essentially, so we have clear objectives to, you know, implement the system. Planning, ERP planning, and that process is so important in this in the selection and, you know, execution of an ERP system. It's not more, you know, the, you know, sales order entry training or purchase order entry training or planning or creating report, right? That's all standard in an ERP implementation. Every ERP implementation is going to do that. But the ones that are successful, that are able to get the true value or ROI, are the ones that have done their homework. They've understand their business really down to, you know, a specific report level. We run this report. Why do we run it? Who runs it? When do we run it? How could we replace it? Right? Maybe a Power BI report. You know, what type of analytics are we looking for? where are we getting this data from? When you get down to that, right, that's when you know you're going to be able to successfully implement a great system.
Yeah, and I think going down to the details like that, I think you have to, the client has to also be open and honest and say, yeah, look, we're going to have some really bad processes. Mm-hmm. And I think unpicking those details for the client, for the business that's mm-hmm. getting the CRP, mm-hmm. it's down to them. They have to show a bit of vulnerability, yeah. Be open and say, we're going to have some real legacy processes. Mm-hmm. As you said, a lot of it's tribal knowledge that we now need to fit into an ERP. So some of that tribal knowledge, you've got to think to yourself, do I actually need this? Do I want this in my shiny new ERP?
Exactly. Because, once you go live, right, and one of the things that we'll talk about here is the data. But, they say the devil's in the data. Your sins come out in the data because, the data might not fit well. Right. And that, we'll keep that. We have a couple more points down there. But that's an important point is all that tribal knowledge. It's all tribal knowledge. How the person in their head examined and filed that data in their head or in Excel or whatnot. Right. But now how does that how does that fit in the ERP system?
I think you really got to unpick that. You've got to unpick all that because, if you're speaking to the people on the ground and they say, well, and they have a process where they give a piece of paper to the plant manager. And their question to the ERP implementer might be, can I print from this screen?
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to ask why. And if it's something as archaic as, I just need to give this piece of paper to this guy, like the question isn't, can I print from this screen? You don't need to. you need to really, and I think that comes under understanding your business processes. Yeah. People will quickly say, it's no good because I need to print that from that screen. It's like, well, let's be open and honest. Like, do you? And you need to do that first.
Yeah. And that comes back to the first, the first point, do your ERP homework and, have the users involved, right, in that process. So you could start instituting this mentality of change management. Once change management is accepted across all levels of an organization, it breaks down that barrier of I do something this way and this is the only way we could do it, right? When it becomes a two-way conversation, why do you do something that way? Can we do it better, right? What's going to open up your time more, right? Instead of just clicking buttons, be more on the business and make better business decisions for that department, team, right? Ultimately, the bottom line.
Yeah, and I think underlying that is the getting that sense of this is our thing. This is what we're doing as a team, as a group, as a business. Everyone's involved. Everyone has a valued opinion.
Yep.
Because, of course, at some point, things are going to go wrong. They always do. Like if you sailed through, then something's gone wrong because it just doesn't happen. Of course, if you haven't got that and that kind of sense of a group doing this together, then as soon as things do go wrong, that's like, oh, that was the bad implementation by our partner.
Yeah, right.
Oh, management just decided on this ERP when I wanted this other one.
Exactly.
Like all that starts to come out. I really like the idea of this being everyone has to come along on the journey.
Everyone. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of times I see the CFO or the CEO says, hey, we need a new system. And the IT, the team members in the IT department frantically are going out finding the first system that they see on Google, right? Or the first four or five systems and saying, let's just go for one of these. They have to be. But there's some really good solutions out there. Understand your business, understand your industry, and find the best industry fit there. And a good partner will help you find that as well, right? And they'll be able to say, hey, this is a good fit for you or it's not a good fit, or be upfront to say, it's going to require X, Y, and Z enhancements to the system to make it work, right? Whatever it is, but at least you understand it because you know your business and you know what's out there in the marketplace.
Okay, that moves us nicely on to number three, understand users.
Yeah, understand, what, and this is not more from a process, maybe a little bit from a process standpoint, but how much can they take on? There's many different ways to do something in an ERP system. Okay. Just, let's say the user right now, take an example. They get a sales order. Let's say we're talking about the shipping department here. The shipping department, in order for them to ship, all they do is they get a copy of the sales order and they go to, you know, it's called the UPS World Ship, and they go and plug in, you know, what they're shipping, and the shipment goes out the door. That's all they do. But now if you're looking for them to maybe go through a pick process, make sure there's a pick. Pick is, you know, brings inventory to the shipping area. And now there's a dispatch list for them, right? And now, you know, they have, they don't see the sales order, but what they see is just lines that they have to ship, right? Maybe could confuse them, right? What are they capable in terms of a process standpoint to complete, right? Do we keep what they're doing now, keep it simple, or do we implement a more advanced, you know, a sophisticated process, right? Complex process. Understand your users. Some users, you know, you have to look at the cost benefit, right? Does the benefit of the new processes that you're implementing outweigh the cost? That's typically what you want. You want the benefit to outweigh the cost. Mm-hmm. You don't want the cost where it takes the shipping person, you know, four or five screens to go through the ship, right? And now you're not getting much benefit out of that. They're just more, you know, data entry or, you know, pushing, you know, keystrokes all day long. Understand, you know, where, you know, we could create efficiencies, where there are current efficiencies and we don't want to let go of them, right? Understand your users there, and what needs to happen, because the users have pretty good information on, you know, best practices of how their department should run, because they've been doing it either through their head, through Excel or whatever it is, right? Our job sometimes to implement ERP systems is to kind of do that, right? Do what they, you know, are kind of saying, because they have best practice information, but at the same time, we need to make sure how it is to fit the mold properly in an ERP system. So they are a critical point in this, right? Outside the homework that the IT department does, it's how the users will, you know, benefit from the system, right? Because they have to always be thought about in this process, because they're the ones that are going to be supporting the transactions at the end of the day.
Okay, my the next one we got on the list, which is a love-hate relationship I have. data health checkup.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like going to a doctor and you got to get your physical done, you know, every year. It's a similar concept. Maybe you don't do it every year. Maybe you do it when you're about to do an ERP system implementation, but check your data, right? Don't go into an ERP system implementation without doing that health checkup on your data. You know, how relevant is our data in the current state? How should we change our data, right? Where do we have data blind spots, essentially where we don't get good visibility of our information? How old is our data that we don't even need? That's probably one of the most important ones, right? All of a sudden, you're running seven different systems, you have 20 years of data, and automatic customers are like, oh, we need all that. We need to bring all that over. Well, no, I don't think you do, because you're going to bring over those bad, you know, processes. You're going to bring over mistakes. You're going to bring over that the data that's, you know, you're not going to be processing that way in the new system.
Yeah. So it's important. I think we touched on this. We were speaking last week, weren't we, about this very thing, actually. Exactly. Saying, you know, if you've got a company, if you've got a small business that's been trading for decades on paper and just in Excel.
Yeah.
Where everything's free typed, there's no constraints on the type of data, like ERPs have. Obviously, the way databases are structured. So of course, it's like, how would you? So this is a question for you then. What would you choose to either store and archive in like a read only data warehouse, versus what data do I need in my new ERP on day one?
Yeah, I would say what you need day one is the data to support your go live. What everyone needs access to day one, right? You're going to need those sales, those customers that you have open sales orders for. You're going to need those vendors that you have open POs for. You're going to need those items, bills, and materials that you have, you know, production orders for or inventory for. You're going to want customers that you have open sales invoices for. You're going to want, vendors that you have open POs for, right? Open AP for. So you're going to at least at a minimum need that information. And then you want information to help support any quotes that you have out there from a sales or quoting side, sales purchase quoting side, blanket orders out there. You're going to want maybe some information of different customers that are strategic for your business. Maybe 80% of your sales over the year come from this type of customers, right? 80% of your purchases come from this type of vendor, right? You want that type of stuff in there. You want items in there that customers or vendors you purchase or sell on 80% of the year, right? Based on a large portion of your revenue, essentially. So there's some benchmarks of the type of data that you immediately want to put in there. But typically, right, outside of that, we usually consult customers saying, if a customer is bought out by another customer, you don't need that older customer anymore, essentially, right? They merge into a different, bigger entity they're set up as a different customer number now, essentially. If a customer has gone out of business, right, you don't need that customer anymore. You have changed your business completely and there's a set of customers that you no longer do business with because you don't have that product line anymore. You don't need those customers anymore. So, things like that, we try to recommend clean that list up before you bring those customers in, the vendors in, items in, right? You may have items that are duplicate. You may have items that you no longer sell or purchase anymore, right? They're just obsoleted, right? Do yourself a favor, clean that list out. Remove data that's not going to add any value to your processes, right? Have that information that's going to be necessary for day one and beyond, but looking at it from a strategic standpoint, saying, who are your sales? What items do your sales come from? What type of production do you do? And then as you need, you could always bring customers and items in, or create them, because maybe how we're setting up a customer vendor or new items are different than you were doing it before. So now you essentially want to create them. Maybe you want to go back and also re-ask certain questions. Maybe the customer, you want to recheck their credit. You want to onboard them. Maybe they got some more ship to locations. Maybe they got another billing location, right? That might give you a chance to kind of talk to the customer, get them back onboarded correctly, potentially as well. So there's some considerations. There's no kind of silver bullet here to say this is exactly how you should do it. Every customer is going to do it differently when it comes to their data and how to clean that data up and bring it to the ERP system. But as a good partner is going to kind of advise you. If you send your partner a list saying, hey, here's 50,000 customers, they're going to say, whoa, okay, you may not need all this. Let's have a conversation, right? And maybe you do, which is great. We can bring that over, not a problem. But let's have a conversation, saying, is this the type of data you want to bring over? Because like anything else, right? It's good data in, good data out. Bad data in, bad data out. You want to screen that list, right? If there's duplicates, you don't want to bring duplicates over, because then you're gonna have these records, right? The historical records sitting in two different customers when they should actually be one customer. So, you need to kind of clean that up. So, you get good reporting out of that. And that should partly be part of your strategy when you're looking at your ERP implementation, is our data health check, essentially, right? How healthy is our data? And where do we need to, go ahead and maybe, not apply a Band-Aid, but, fix up the data. Essentially, take your vendor list through surgery and, take out things it doesn't need and try to keep, only the vendors that, make sense to the business that you actually buy from, not obsolete vendors, right? Do you need to have conversations with vendors? So it's good to kind of go through that because, you want to have good data in your ERP system, especially day one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the perfect time, isn't it? I mean, it's something that you should be doing regularly, kind of pulling at your data and having a look, making sure it's clean, making sure that there's no bugs in the system, things going a bit wrong. Like, that's just general practice. But exactly. If there's any a good time to do it, it's now.
Yeah.
It's when you're at this phase.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Number five.
Setting realistic.
The last one, make it a good one.
Yeah, setting realistic expectations. This is easily, I would say, one of those that gets least love during the ERP implementation. Because, most customers think that they are not different than other customers when implementing ERP system. Like, oh yeah, we have easy processes. We're simple. We could implement. That's no problem, right? And yeah, maybe certain parts of, you know, the ERP implementation, certain modules are pretty standard, ARAP, cash management, right? Those really don't change much from implementation to implementation. It really comes down to the operations, right? How do you run your manufacturing? How do you take in your order? Where do your orders come from? EDI, you know, I have a storefront versus a marketplace, right? I have, you know, my orders come from a customer portal. So now you're looking at, okay, you're not exactly, yeah, you know, out of the box here. We need to thoroughly, properly check, you know, what are the expectations here? What are we implementing? And let's set the right expectation of when the implementation should be complete, right? A lot of customers said, oh, you should be able to implement us within 60 days, 90 days. Yeah, that's true. But that's if you had you're using the out-of-the-box sales order process, using the out-of-the-box purchase order process, out-of-the-box planning process, and some of the stuff that you're doing now, outside the system, outside your ERP system, you're currently doing that. So it's an easy kind of transition, then maybe. But let's say you are planning via a report to look at supply and demand, but now you want to implement an MRP system. That's going to require a little bit more training. MRP and MPS is not something that you, will easily walk into and get if you haven't done it before, right? It's a full planning philosophy. There's algorithms embedded into the code. There's setups. You need to understand how that interfaces with demand and supply. You're managing exceptions that the system is throwing at you. So how do you review that the system is providing the right exception messages? Are the due dates correct? Are quantities correct, right? Instead of someone just kind of quickly going through a report, boom, 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 and they know, okay, well, I need to create this purchase order, create this purchase order, create this production order, right? And off they're running, and they create that manually. But now they want to do that using the MRP and MPS engine. Well, that's going to require a little bit more training there. So what I would say, you know, with setting realistic expectations is give yourself time to have a successful deployment, right? If you don't give yourself time, it's like learning anything else, learning to ride a bike, right? You need to keep doing it until you get better and better. So it's saying, okay, just because, you know, we know our processes now, what we're implementing, are the users being trained on it? Are users testing? Are the users working? Are you collaborating internally? Are you ready to go live, right? And if you go live too soon without the proper training, without the proper, you know, collaboration internally, and users don't know what to do, it's like stage fright. You pull back the curtains, you know, all of a sudden you're going to come to a screeching halt. Production's going to stop. You won't be able to ship, right? You won't be able to get those invoices out. You won't get paid. So it's really important to set that expectation is, do we need more time, right? Should we take an actual 6 months out to complete this implementation? Because we'll be fully ready by that point, instead of trying to do it within like 3 months or 2 months, right? Because ultimately what you want to have is, in an ideal world, is everybody's trained, everyone is comfortable, we've kind of dotted the I's, crossed the T's, and we're ready to go live, right? And I always kind of preach that is, you know, everyone wants to be live yesterday, but it's you have to have a hard conversation with yourself because there's budget requirements, there's, right, users there, that's maybe some users just were stubborn, they didn't want to test, right? And their processes, there's a go live risk there, right? And we want to eliminate as many risks as we can when we go live, because the more risks you have during go live, the more likely it is that it's going to take you longer to stabilize, and you're not going to see that return on investment with your ERP system. So that's kind of what I would say for that one, is setting a realistic expectation that, you know, this is the workload that my team currently has. This is how much time they have to devote to the ERP project. These are the areas we want to make sure that we could do in the ERP system, and we could do it well, and we could do it, you know, day one without any issues. Then let's kind of backward schedule from there and how long that's going to take.
Yeah, I think that the one thing I really like in terms of how to know what a realistic expectation is really dividing the must-haves, day one must-haves, from the desirables, like the nice-to-haves. It's like, what do we need on day one to be operational? Without all the bells and whistles, let's just get going. Let's just get used to it. Let's do some user acceptance training. Let's iron out the bugs, because there'll be bugs as good as all your steps 1 to 4 so far.
Yeah.
You're going to have issues.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's just identify the must-haves, get them done right.
Yep.
And then we'll move on to the desirables.
Exactly.
It's like, I know we've used this analogy before, but it's like if you're making pancakes, you got to understand that pancake number one is going to be terrible. But you know, through good practice and going at it and learning and developing, by pancake number three, you're making good pancakes.
Yeah.
But of course, if you go into something like this, and everyone's like, oh yeah, I want blueberries on it. I want this on it. I'd like maple syrup on mine. I want a dusting of, frosted sugar on top. It's like you can't expect day one to have a perfect pancake.
Exactly.
It's the same thing here.
Yeah. So this is our day one pancake, Peter. You know, our first pancake essentially here.
Yeah. So episode number one is a terribly made pancake.
I know. It's pretty delicious. Looking pretty delicious so far.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Okay, so let's change gears now. So the do's we have, the don'ts.
Dun, 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 dun.
We've probably touched upon some of these already.
Yeah, we have for sure. You have to kind of stress these, right? Because the don'ts are important because you don't want to assume a lot of things. You're going to see a lot of these don'ts are based off of that. So the first one that I have is, don't assume the partner will implement you without much user participation. Okay. ERP is not like QuickBooks. ERP is not like, Excel. You need to have participation from everybody in order to implement the right processes. There's many different ways to do things in an ERP system. The partner knows how to use a system. They're experts at the system, but we need heavy, heavy user participation from the end user or the key user in order to put together a good system. Right. Sometimes that gets lost. Right. Even though we pick the project team, we understand the key users. This kind of goes into my second point, is that sometimes they take it lightly. They say, oh, yeah, OK. So, we just tell us what you need and you guys go and do it and just tell me what I have to do afterwards. Yeah. But that's really not we don't know your business. Right. I mean, we know your business from the standpoint of what industry you're in, what best practices are. We know the ERP software. We know how people within, similar to your industry have been successful implementing ERP software, but every business is a little different, okay? There's some nuance, there's some process, right? Or there's some sort of legacy, report or legacy internal procedure that's happening because somebody else has been doing it for such a long time. Now, that same person is not the other company, right? Doing the same thing. That's why it's so unique to this company that's implemented the new ERP system. So, it's important to do, work with the users closely. The users have to participate and make sure that they do that knowledge transfer. Because if you don't do that knowledge transfer appropriately, you're going to set yourself up for a lot of bad decisions, a lot of rework in the implementation, right? Change orders. And that's kind of what we want to avoid, essentially. So yeah, don't assume the partner is going to implement without much user input. User input has to be there from day one to start talking about how to best model the system.
Yeah, okay. So number two then, we just said, don't take the ERP project lightly. So this is basically what you said, isn't it?
It's
this isn't just something for, you just Google and find a Microsoft implementer and off they go and do it. This is a big change.
This is a big change. A heart transplant, right? You want to do your homework. You want the users to be involved, heavily be involved. I always tell users, okay, when we start implementing, start writing down every single thing that you do right away, right? Because the last thing you want them to do is on the 11th hour before we go live or we have our pilot test, oh, wait, guys, there's these 10 different things that we didn't talk about and we do. And now 5 of them are huge gaps in the system. Now we have to delay the implementation, right? We have to resolve those gaps, provide workarounds for that or customizations, and then we start talking about go live. Whereas we were really close to go live before. You know, what I say is that you're doing things. Everyone is doing things, right? Either they're doing it in a computer or they're writing something down. But I say when you get to your desk, day one of an ERP implementation, and you're the key user and you're part of this committee, right, to implement a good system, is to start writing down everywhere that you do post-it notes of different things. Write down what you're doing a post-it note for. If you're doing something in the system, oh, I ran this report at 11 o'clock because I need to write that down. Or I had to send a, create a quote for this type of material. Write that down, right? Or I had to go back into the customer card, customer master, and update a payment term because of X, Y, and Z reason. Write that down, right? Or there's a log that I have that I need to write something down in, because that log then gets transferred. We have to use that as a stand-up meeting once a week. We'll write that down. Now write that down, and we could then determine how much of that needs to be in the system versus how much of that is you're going to continue doing what you're doing. Because the ERP system has a certain place in your overall processes. It's not going to do everything. It can take over every part of your, day-to-day, right? It's going to take over probably 80%, right? 90%. But you want to write that down. So we know that's in our radar that we need to solve for this during the ERP system. So, the big do here is don't take it lightly and assume that it's going to do everything that it's doing, that you're currently doing. Make sure you write it down, document it so we could test it, make sure the system can do it. So don't assume that.
Number three, we've got don't go into an ERP project without an internal project manager.
Yeah, and this is, again, one of those things that sometimes still kind of shocks me. The ERP project is so big. It's massive, right? You need a point person. You need a quarterback, right? Now, the partner will have a quarterback. You have the implementation specialist, and you have a project manager. You know, typically on our installations for our customers, we'll assign a implementation specialist for that specific industry, and we'll have a project manager that's overlooking the project, making sure the customer is honest, that we're honest, essentially, that we're moving towards a common target date and due dates for different tasks, right? But you need to have that same project manager position internally at the customer. We understand, right? There might not be one, but try to find one. That could be somebody from IT, that could be somebody from sales, that could be somebody from finance, but that person is in charge to make sure that the tasks internally are being completed, right? Because the project manager from the ERP side, the vendor side, is just managing the ERP project from, did we get this training done? Do we have this data in the system? Are we moving towards pilot test, right? Have the users tested on this specific process? But the customer side, the project manager saying, hey, did we set up these meetings with these two different departments? Because we need to, make sure that we have this report ready that is not out of the box. It's custom, so we need to get the requirements. Or that, hey, why is the shipping department printing labels, right, for products that aren't being packed that day, right? We need to have a discussion around that, right? These are internal conversations where, that project manager understands how to talk that, the customer's language, customer's day-to-day, right, business, and translate that to us as an ERP vendor and how to execute or what decisions were made so we could make the proper decisions in the ERP system and properly, model that process in the system itself. So it's a very, very important to have an internal project manager that's going to lead your ERP project at the customer site. And, that's going to be your quarterback internally to make sure all systems are firing in the same cylinder.
Yeah. Number four, don't assume you can do what you are currently doing in the new system.
Yeah, exactly. So again, right? That's saying, oh yeah, I do this right now. I'm not going to bring it up. I could probably do it in the new system. Don't assume it. Even if it's something as simple as, I need to change, I used it before, credit terms. Yeah, but you might be changing a credit term in Excel spreadsheet, right? But now you're changing Excel credit terms on a customer master, but now somebody else has decided to implement security and you're locked out of that. And you can't go and change the credit terms, right? So yeah, you know, it's possible, but how does that fit into the grand scheme of things? How is that fitting in to the strategy of how we're implementing the ERP system, right? That's important to document. It's important to make sure that we have visibility to it. So we could then say, hey, there's a conflict here. Yeah, you change your credit terms, and that's something that you do, but based on what we're implementing with more security in place, you won't be able to do that. Do we have to create a new view for you to be able to change the credit terms? So then that goes to an approval process, right? Now you're talking a little bit more, oh, wait, it's not just changing credit terms, and now I have to get somebody else involved because they have to approve the credit terms that I'm changing or credit limit. Right, so it's that's an important point, right? Manufacturing is huge here as well. Manufacturing, there's a lot of changes in manufacturing when you implement the ERP system. It's inventory control, right? We're implementing picks now, versus before we were just taking material right off the shelf, you know, chucking it across the warehouse, and the shipping guy's catching it, and he's going to go ahead and ship it out the door. Well, now we're a little bit more formal. No, now we actually have, you know, a pick that we have to scan. Pick it, because that scanning process affects inventory control, electronically affects the quantities on hand. So now someone else, sales, is going to see that, okay, we've actually picked it. We don't have that available to ship, to commit to another customer, and we could ship that out, right? Or maybe I physically see it, it's here, it's not picked yet, but there's a pick against it. Can I pick that or can I not pick it? Right? You shouldn't pick that, because electronically, the system's saying you don't have enough. Because that quantity is allocated, you can't just go there and pick it, right? So now, just because you see inventory right now and you're able to grab it, right, and go, that's not going to be the case maybe in the new system. The strategies maybe is changing now, right? We want to get a little bit better, accurate inventory control, essentially. So it's really, really important that don't assume that just because you're doing something now, you're going to be able to do it in the system, because we want to stick to our plan. We want to stick to our business process that we're putting together. That's the way we're going to have a successful deployment.
I think that really goes with number two of our do's. You know,
Yeah.
don't you need to go through your business processes,
You gotta go through your
because
business
it's those
processes.
conversations with someone in the warehouse who goes, oh yeah, I just ignore that warning box,
Yeah,
but I
yeah.
just go and physically pick it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we need to write that down
Exactly.
because of this very point.
Well, exactly. You're gonna have some really unhappy customers when you've told them that you have inventory and now you don't have enough to ship.
I know that. I'm saying that through gritted teeth. Yep, that
Yeah, wait, I thought I could just take this. It's just it's sitting for me. It
happen.
was no. The system said you didn't have any available, so just not take it.
Do you want to ring the customer and
Yeah,
tell them yes
exactly.
now?
Yeah, exactly. Here's a number. Here's a number right here. Go for
Okay, number five. Don't lose momentum during ERP implementation. And as we say, what happens when we lose momentum? Leads to additional costs.
Exactly. Absolutely. Right. When you're ready to do an ERP implementation, have a dedicated plan that you're going to follow it through beginning to end within the time allotted. Right. The last thing you want to do is you do all this training, you do all this upfront work, and now there's crickets and radio silence for a month because all of a sudden you're really busy. People say we can't do meetings or canceling meetings here and there. And you pick it up after a month and everyone's kind of forgotten what they just went through. Oh my God. When that happens, right? What happens? You have to retrain again. You can't move on to the next subjects, right? Well, all of a sudden the decisions you made, they may not remember if they weren't documented properly, right? And now all of a sudden, you know, people are saying scratching their head like, oh wait, we have to go back to square one again now. To remember what we were trying to implement. Okay. And it's going to delay the go live. It's going to, sometimes when I see it, actually kind of, it demoralizes a little bit the users that are working so hard to get this thing going, right? Just because, you know, you can't move forward maybe because, you know, whole department said that all of a sudden we had an influx of orders and we can't, you know, do any work, right? Imagine, you know, manufacturing. That's happened to me once. We were moving really well through our implementation. And then all of a sudden, the COO of the company decides that, hey, you know, we went through manufacturing training. right? And we had to go do some redo some of the training because we were remodeling some of the process. Like, hey guys, we can't do any work right now because we just got these five big orders from the customer. I need everyone dedicated to this customer, these customer projects internally on the manufacturing side. So we need to put a hold on the project for a month and a half. Well, guess what? We did that. It delayed their go live by 6 months. Just by stopping the implementation by a month and a half, because we had to relearn everything again. It affects every department, because every department, they can't move forward, right? And yeah, that is not the position you want to be in. You don't want to lose momentum because you're making decisions every single day, right? There's constant communication between your ERP implementation partner, your customers, right? And the key users to make decisions to move forward to the next step in the ERP project plan to su ensure successful implementation. So don't lose momentum. Keep that project moving forward.
And I think I've heard it before, certainly when I've done projects and simplification projects, because essentially an ERP in a way is a type of simplification project. As you've already said, it should be doing the majority of the work, 80%, 90% of the work, and freeing up talent resources in your business to do more valuable things for the business instead of a lot of the admin and a lot of the grunt work. So
Exactly.
I've heard it when doing similar projects that I'm too busy to spend time on the ERP implementation because I'm having to do all this manual work because my current ERP doesn't do it for me. It's like it's catch 22, isn't it? It's like I haven't got time to spend looking at a simplification project because I'm drowning in lots of redundant tasks that the simplification project is focused on solving for you.
Absolutely. I have, there's this one prospect that we're kind of working with right now, and she operates nine different systems, literally gets 300 emails a day, does not have good job costing, and we've proposed a really nice solution for her. But the problem is that it's hard for her to even get time to focus on, when they want to start the implementation. What does the budget look like? How to maybe even get, some more detailed demos, because she's so buried in emails, day in and day out. So it's hard for her to kind of even look up, right? And then all of a sudden there's another 10 emails falling on her. So it's like, you have to make a decision, right? At a certain point, like, are you at this point now, this crossroads where this is just too much? You need to simplify your business into a single unified solution, end-to-end solution, that will not only free up your time, but let you be more on the business, make better b decisions on the business than being in the business, right? And that's a key differentiator to, knowing when you're ready to embark on this journey to follow these, do's and don'ts, right? And you notice a lot of these do and don'ts in this episode, especially, were more related to kind of what I call the abstract, objective type of viewpoints that will make an ERP implementation successful. It wasn't have, nail down the right project plan. It wasn't, to have allocated the right number of pilot test hours, any of that. These are things that needs to be kind of looked at holistically from an organization standpoint, that are we ready to embark on an ERP implementation based on these do's and don'ts to be successful from a resource standpoint, from a business implementation standpoint. And we'll talk about in a separate episode, specific do's and don'ts for an ERP project when it relates to a plan, modules in which the order you should train in, right? Areas to look for best practice, so on and so forth. But I like these do's and don'ts because this really gives you a hardcore look on how to prepare yourself internally for a successful implementation.
Yeah, that's really good. I think these do give you a kind of high level look, and they're really punchy, almost like a checklist. It's like, look, do these, avoid these pitfalls as your foundation, really.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure we'll dive deeper into each one in the future, in following episodes. I know we've got lots of things to discuss. It's funny that this is the first time. This is one of many conversations we've had about trying to put the world to rights in terms of business processes and ERPs, and we've not recorded any of it.
No, I
So,
know. I know. Now we're recording.
yeah, we'll have to think back to our conversations of the past. And
yeah, absolutely.
Remember what golden nuggets we must have said.
I know. It's a lot.
Okay, well, as ever, thank you very much for your time, Nerav. Treasure trove of information. And I'm sure we're going to have some fun with the podcast. I hope that we will continue having these conversations. And I know that we've got a lot of things that we'd like to discuss and develop and really put out there. So episode one is done. We have an hour's worth of recording, but yeah. I'm sure after some editing, we might have some 10 minutes of
I know.
Of information in there.
Is this the time I jump on my chair? I can start dancing now.
That's the bonus episode. We'll have to put that behind a paywall. I'm sure there's some websites where we can put that kind of
there
bonus
you go.
Content.
Exactly. No, this is great. You know, I'm really happy that we're able to, you know, just kind of do like a knowledge dump, right? And get, you know, talk about things, the good, the bad, the ugly of what we've been through, Peter, both of us here over our years and experience in technology and ERP, expanding the scope of not just technology, but talking about leadership and talking about, you know, how to, you know, look at all facets of the business, right? Everything comes down to people and systems. Right. If you could do that well, you're going to have a well-oiled machine in your hands. Right. So, you know, we're going to keep talking about, you know, best practices, talk about the latest and greatest stuff here. But I'm excited. You know, there's going to be things that, you know, people that we might bring on to the show that's going to spit some knowledge to us. You know, that's going to be pretty fantastic. And I think people out there are going to love hearing that. So I'm excited on where we're going to take this. I think everyone's going to have a good time with this and hopefully walk away with it. Hey, I learned a little bit more today than I did yesterday about, you know, how to be a better leader, how to have better systems, a little bit more about ERP, you know, and how the world is changing every single day from these different vantage points.
Yeah, and I think it's always been an important subject, and I think it's going to be more important now, given that the world of work is changing.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know what 2023 is going to look like. If we thought 2020 and 2021 was bad in terms of entire workforces being forced to work from home and
exactly.
IT managers screaming about remote access and VPNs.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just don't know, but we do know. This is going to be as an important subject as ever.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I'm excited to get all this awesome content out to the viewers of our podcast. So.
Yeah, yeah, to our thousands of viewers subscribed already.
Keep it coming. Cool, all right.
Well, until next time, Nerav.
Yeah,
wonderful speaking to you.
Likewise.
I'll catch you on the next one.
You got it, sir.